Welcome once again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to draw your attention this evening to the book of Romans, chapter 9, and we will continue our study verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Romans. If you've missed any of these broadcasts and you have a computer, you can go on sermonaudio.com and go under the Elizabeth Baptist Church, and all the broadcasts are on that particular site. That is the sermonaudio.com, and go under Elizabeth Baptist Church, and you can find not only the broadcast, but also we have all the sermons from our services on that particular site. So we're thankful that you're able to tune in with us this evening, and we would like to draw your attention tonight to Romans chapter 9. Now, the verse that we want to focus on this evening is verse 6. Now, let me go ahead and bring you up to date on what we've covered so far in chapter 9. In Romans 9, 1 through 3, Paul expressed his concern for the nation of Israel. Of course, Paul was a Jew by physical birth and was also a Jew by new birth. And he expressed a great sorrow in his heart for his countrymen. In verses 1 through 3, he made the statement that he could wish that himself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. The idea of that is that if they could be saved and he would be lost, if he could give himself for them, he would have chosen that. And that showed you the great compassion that he had towards his own countrymen. And we entitled that message, Paul's Concern for Israel, and certainly that's the same concern that we need to have for our own people also. Then we looked at verses 4 through 5, and in 4 and 5, he showed the different advantages that they had as a people, the different advantages that the children of Israel had. They were given the law. They were given the service of God. All of those are detailed in verses 4 and 5. They were advantaged, but they were lost. Now, tonight, we're going to revisit a truth that Paul brought up in Romans chapter 2. And we'll go back and look at that text here in just a little bit. And that truth that he revealed in Romans 2 is that God viewed anyone that was saved or that is saved under the new covenant as a spiritual Jew. I mentioned a little while ago that Paul was a Jew by physical birth, and then he became a spiritual Jew by new birth. Now, that second part is also true of me. I'm a Gentile by physical birth, but I am a spiritual Jew by new birth. And what Paul did in Romans chapter 2 is he showed how, in the eyes of God, who the true Jew is, who the true descendant of Abraham is the one that has had a circumcised heart, is the one that has trusted Jesus as her Savior. So what we're going to title the message this evening is, Who is Israel? Who is Israel? And what I'm trying to get at this evening is, under the new covenant, who is Israel? Now, the statement is made in verse 6, which will be our study for this evening, our just this one verse, because we want to take this slow and present the different truths that goes with this verse, so that we can get a full look at who Israel is under the new covenant. It says, not as though the word of God hath taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, let me repeat that statement. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, what this basically means is there is a people that are not Jewish born, that are considered Israel, a part of Israel under the new covenant. Now, let me repeat that statement. And I think this is what the meaning is. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel, which means there is a people that are not Jewish born that are considered Israel, a part of Israel under the new covenant. Well, anyone that is born again would be, anyone that has trusted Jesus would be a part of spiritual Israel, and would be a spiritual Jew. Now, let's look at the evidence of that. It's one thing to make this statement, but it's another thing to provide the biblical support for the statement. Now, Paul made the statement in verse 6, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, what I'm telling you tonight is that I'm a part, as a spiritual Jew, as one that's had a new birth in Christ Jesus, what I'm telling you that I am a part of Israel. I've been made a part of his spiritual nation under the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Now, let's look at the evidence of that, and I'm going to present evidence to you. Now, a lot of times we don't look at the evidence. Sometimes people will hear what I just said and tune it out. But I want you to weigh the evidence from Scripture. Remember, the title tonight is Who is Israel? I want you to weigh the evidence and see if these things are so. All I'm asking is be a good Berean. Acts 17:11, it says they received the word with all readiness of mind. And then they searched the Scriptures to see whether it's so. Who is Israel under the new covenant? Well, Romans chapter 2, we've seen this in the past. And listen to the statement. He's talking about who the true Jew is, who's spiritual Israel in the sight of God. Romans 2:28, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Now, he's just talking about by physical birth. In the eyes of God, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. That's what it says. Neither is that circumcision, that's the physical circumcision that was a part of the old covenant. They circumcised every little Jewish boy at 8 days old. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. So now he goes on and defines who the true Jew is in his eyes. It says he is a Jew which is one inwardly. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart. The Old Testament scriptures prophesied of a circumcised or of having a circumcised heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So there it says that the true Jew is one that has become a Jew inwardly, and that one that has had a circumcised heart. Now, that happened the day that I was saved, and if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that happened the day that you were saved. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, this same truth is mentioned, Colossians and chapter 2. And let's notice down in to verse, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, I believe it is. Let me find it here. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised. You see what it says? Ye are circumcised, and the circumcision, it's with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision, which is Christ. Look down in verse 13, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened with him, forgiving, having forgiven you all trespasses. So when you receive the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior, there's a spiritual circumcision that takes place. And there is a cutting away of your sin. And he forgives you for all your trespasses. So you have been given what is called a circumcised heart. So the true Jew in the eyes of God is one that's had a circumcised heart. One who's had a cutting away of the sins of their flesh through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is who the true Jew is. So that perfectly fits well with what we said Romans 11 verse 6 meant, is not all Israel which are of Israel. So the true Jew is one that's had a circumcised heart. Now, Paul talked in, not only in Colossians 2 about the circumcised heart, but he also says something in Philippians 3. He mentioned circumcision there again. That was a hot topic in the days of the Apostle Paul, in the days of the early church, because one of the errors that was made is that some of the Jewish brethren brought over circumcision and they began to teach that circumcision plus faith in Jesus was essential for salvation, which Paul called in Galatians 1:8-9 a perverted gospel. because they added circumcision to Jesus. And that was not to be that way. It has to be all Jesus. You can't add anything to Jesus. Salvation has to be all through him, through his sacrificial death on Calvary for our sin and his resurrection again from the dead, which is defined in Galatians, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 as the gospel. By trusting that message is how you're saved. They brought over circumcision. So Paul had taught in Colossians that they had been circumcised. Ye are circumcised. Those that had trusted Jesus had went through a spiritual circumcision, and in the eyes of God, they were the true Jew. Now, Philippians chapter 3, here's what he says, and he's talking to another Gentile church, the book of Philippians 3 and verse 3. We are the circumcision. Now, he's going to define who the true Jew is. As a matter of fact, if you'll go back in the Old Testament, sometimes the Jewish people, Israel, was referred to as a circumcised because of the practice of circumcising a little Jewish boy, a little Hebrew boy at 8 days old. So they would be referred to as the circumcision. Sometimes they would refer to the Gentile as the uncircumcision. So the word circumcision became known as a term that referred to God's people. So here in Philippians 3:3, he says, we are the circumcision. He's going to define who the true Jew is in the eyes of God. We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. Now, he gives you three characteristics of the true Jew. They worship God in the Spirit. In other words, it isn't just an outward worship. It isn't just something that where you go through the motions outwardly. It says we worship God in the Spirit. We worship God from our heart. They that worship the Lord, Jesus said, must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that's one characteristic of the true circumcision, the true Jew under the new covenant. They worship God in spirit. Number two, they rejoice in Christ Jesus. Jesus is our boast. We rejoice in him. The reason why I'm saved and the reason why I'm going to heaven and the reason why I have a home in the Father's house, the reason I've had a circumcised heart, the reason I've been forgiven for my sin, the reason why I have eternal life is all because of Christ Jesus. It's all because of what Jesus did. He lived a perfect life. And then he went to Calvary and paid the debt that I owed. And through faith in his sacrificial death and resurrection, I received the gift of everlasting life. I rejoice in Christ Jesus. That's the second characteristic of a true Jew. Not only have they had a circumcised heart, but they worship God in the Spirit. They rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this last one here in Philippians 3:3. They don't have no confidence in their flesh. You can ask a lot of people about are they saved, and they tell you yes. And then you ask them why they say they're saved, and they'll tell you where their confidence is at. And they'll tell you about their good deeds, and they'll tell you about all the wonderful things that they've done, or they'll tell you about their baptism, or they'll tell you about some other thing that they've done or went through that is the confidence of their salvation. There's no confidence in the flesh of the true Jew. Their confidence is in the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus and in that alone. That's where all my confidence is at tonight. Why am I going to heaven? Jesus. Jesus died for me on Calvary. He rose again the third day. And all of my confidence of heaven is not in my good works, in my good deeds, in my church membership. It's not in my baptism. All of my confidence of salvation is in the sacrificial death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no confidence. No confidence in the flesh. Well, that's a characteristic of the true Jew. In verses 4 through 8 of the book of Philippians 3, he describes what he trusted in when he was a Pharisee. Notice in verse 5, he mentioned that he was circumcised the eighth day. He was of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. But he also mentions that he persecuted the church. And when he did so, my friends, he thought he was serving the Lord. He was a religious Jew, but he was lost, and he didn't become a true Jew until he received the Messiah of the Lord Jesus, and then he received a circumcised heart and was made a part of Israel, the true Israel that is made up of all the redeemed under the new covenant. He goes on to say in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 3, it says he wanted to be found in him. Now, found in who? Found in Jesus. I'm going to tell you one thing. You want to be found in Christ. That's what it means to be saved, is to be in Christ. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness. You trust your own righteousness, then you'll be lost. You don't have enough righteousness to go to heaven. And my friend, it takes 100% righteousness to go, which leaves all of us out in and of ourselves. There's only one place that you can obtain the righteousness that you need in order to go to heaven, and that's in Jesus. It goes on to say, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is by the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now hear that again. The righteousness which is of God by faith. That's how you become a true Jew in the eyes of God. That's how you're made a part of Israel under the new covenant. So Romans 2, 28 and 29 showed you who the true Jew indeed is. Now let's go to another text. I'm just going to show you the evidence. I'm asking you the way to evidence who is the true Jew. Romans chapter 9 indicated when we looked at the text that we're not all Israel, which are of Israel. I mean, there are some people that are Jewish born that are truly not the children of God because they have rejected the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. You don't become a true Jew, or you don't become a part of the true Israel till you trust the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. That's why he said in Romans chapter 2, he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of a heart. And it said that he's not a Jew which is just one outwardly. Okay, now the evidence for that is pretty strong just with what we've gazed so far, I believe. But the book of Galatians chapter 3 goes on with further information of who the true Jew is in the eyes of God, who the Israel is, who is part of Israel in the eyes of God under the new covenant. Let's notice now in the book of Galatians, and we'll read you a couple more texts, Galatians and the verse chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, and we'll notice verse 6. Abraham believed God, it says, and it was accounted, which means imputed to him for righteousness. Paul used Abraham in Galatians and in Romans 5 as an illustration of how Abraham was saved. Abraham was saved through faith. It says that he believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. That same thing is true of me. I trusted God. I trusted the gospel. And then it was charged to me for righteousness. That's what it means to be saved. Okay, so he's using Abraham as an illustration of how God saves a sinner. It's always been that way. Cain certainly was a lost man, but Abel, he was saved by faith in the blood. David was saved that way. Abraham was saved that way. All the Old Testament saints were saved that way. The sacrifice system in the Old Testament pictured the coming sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus. They were saved the same way we are saved, by faith in the blood. Well, let's go on now and look at our text here in Galatians chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 6 again. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him, imputed to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Who is the true children of Abraham? Let me ask you that question. According to this verse of Scripture, who is the true children of Abraham? Let me read it. Know ye not, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So the children of Abraham, of course, are known as being Israel. And of course, that same thing is true under the New Covenant, isn't it? Except under the New Covenant, Israel consists of both of all that be of faith. Both saved Jews and saved Gentiles, all that have trusted the Messiah, are children of Abraham. Verse 8 says the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's the Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In Galatians 3 and verse 29, if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the book of Galatians goes on to point out that Abraham's seed are all that be of faith. We're descendants of Abraham. So it calls us Abraham's seed in Galatians 3. It calls us the circumcision in Philippians 3 and in the book of Romans chapter 2. So if it calls us the circumcision, and then it says that we are a Jew inwardly. Also, it says in Romans 2, we're a Jew inwardly. It says we've had a circumcised heart. It calls us the circumcision. And now it calls us Abraham's seed. What is someone described that way? Well, that's who Israel is. Remember, that's our title. Who is Israel under the new covenant? It's all the saved. Israel would be the seed of Abraham. Except they would be the seed of Abraham, all that be of faith, the same or the seed of Abraham. Let's read on now. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it mentions again, talking about the Gentile, it mentions what we were in time past, that at that time ye were without Christ. In the Old Testament, the Messiah was mainly a Jewish hope. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, we weren't part of the nation. There's a few proselytes, but not many. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what the Gentile looked like in the Old Testament. But now, thank God for that statement, but now in Christ, ye who were afar off, talking about the Gentile, are made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Christ we're made near. We're made apart. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. Made both one. What is that talking about? Both Jew and Gentile under the new covenant are one in Jesus Christ. We're part of the same nation. We have the same heavenly home. We have the same Messiah. And the promises, the future promises of being in a kingdom under the reign of the Messiah, where there'll be no sickness, sorrow, or death. Those promises will be sure and true one day in the lives of all those that know Jesus. He's made both of us one. He's broke down that middle wall, our partition between us. In the temple, there was a court of the Gentiles, about a 3-foot wall that separated the Gentile from the Jew. But under the new covenant, he's made both of us one. Now, I want you to listen to this in verse 19 of Ephesians 2. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. It's not true anymore about the Gentile that's been born again, or the Jew that's been born again. We're fellow citizens. Now, it calls us fellow citizens. Now, let me ask you a question. Fellow citizens of what? We're citizens of the Israel of God, the Israel of the new covenant. Book of Romans chapter 11, we'll talk further and show you how that Israel is pictured as an olive tree in Romans chapter 11. And it shows believing Gentiles are grafted in and made a part of that tree. He's made us both one. And now we're fellow citizens. And one of these days, as the king said, many will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and will sit down in the kingdom with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, fellow citizens, not second-class citizens, fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. He's made us citizens, and he's made us part of the household. He's made us children also. children of God and citizens, a part of His nation, a part of His people. What's our title for this evening's message? Who is Israel? What was our text? Not all Israel which are of Israel. I'm not Jewish born. But my friend, I'm considered Israel under the new covenant. I've had a circumcised heart. I'm of the seed of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus. I've been grafted in and made a part of the olive tree of Israel. Now, I'm a fellow citizen. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, boy, this is an interesting text. When you get to looking at all the evidence, there's a lot of evidence that proves that under the new covenant, the true Israel of God is all the saved, both saved Jews. You can't exclude the Jews. Anyone that's trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, are children of Abraham. And He's made us both one. Listen to what He says in John chapter 10. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. At that time when Jesus was on earth, it was mainly made up of Jews by physical birth and new birth. Other sheep I have, though, which are not of this fold, talking about the Gentiles, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Ephesians 2 said He's made both one, broke down the middle wall, and made us fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Though it calls us Abraham's seed, fellow citizens, grafted into the olive tree of Israel, it calls us the circumcised, and it calls us Israel. All of those. Well, we have a capital city. You know where our capital city's at? Those that's been made part of Israel, we have a capital city. And I want to show you where that capital city's at, and then we'll close for this evening. And we'll come right back, Lord willing, next week and get right back on this particular subject. Where is our capital city at? 6. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 26. It says, the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is mother of us all. We have our capital city, our mother city is above. I mentioned that we have a capital city, but our capital city is above. And that capital city is New Jerusalem. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. The book of Hebrews 11 says, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Galatians 4:25 says, Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. It draws a distinction between Jerusalem that is on earth and Jerusalem, which is above. Our capital city of the Israel of God is New Jerusalem. The citizens of that kingdom are made up of saved Jews and saved Gentiles. Well, folks, we have to stop for this evening. That's who Israel is under the new covenant. That's why He said, not all Israel which are of Israel. May God add His blessings to His word.